This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say,
like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name.
Mr. Bombastic!
They said, oh, what a night. Oh, the video.
If they had a been like Ben.
It's like that, and that's the way it is.
A big hello, as ever, to one and all. How the heck are you doing on this fabulous Tuesday, the 20th of July? Hope it's going marvellously for you. Yesterday was Freedom Day, but a lot of people didn't want it. But a lot of people do want it, but now we shouldn't have it. There should still be restrictions. What are we doing? I'm not sure. What should I advocate? I'm not sure. It wasn't quite the glorious day it was touted to be, was it? But anyway, hopefully today has been a good day for you, whatever you've been up to, whether you've still been wearing masks, whether you've thrown caution to the wind and gone around licking a load of things, who knows? But I think I'm going to advocate remaining cautious and keeping the option of having masks in enclosed spaces where there might be a few people. But that's common sense, isn't it? Can we rely on people's common sense, or does it need to be the law? Let's not get too political at the start of the show tonight. Let's have loads of tracks that are going to be fabulous and keep you orally entertained. That's A-U, orally. Hourly entertained, should you pronounce it differently? Let's dwell on that later. But anyway, your ears are going to love being here. Loads of exciting features. Celebrity birthdays coming up later on as well. Hopefully time for Bicklol before we go. And a brand new World Cup of something will be... Well, let's say it's the opening ceremony tonight, if you like. There won't be actual competition, but there will be the opening ceremony of a brand new World Cup of something, which I think is exciting in itself. If you were glued to the chocolate bar World Cup that's taken place over the last few weeks, you'll enjoy what's to come. And you probably have been enjoying Dairy Milk Caramels ever since it was revealed to be the winner. Anyway, what's going on the 20th of July? Well, did you know today is International Chess Day? It's also Space Exploration Day. It's also, in accordance with that, Moon Day. No, not lowering your trousers. Not that kind of moon. Don't do that, please. Moon, as in the satellite orbiting the Earth. Yes, but most excitingly for me, and with the most possibilities to open the show, it's World Jump Day. You know what's coming. However you do it, get ready to jump.
Me.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And if you've just joined us, this is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons. And if you like to look at what's going on in the studio from the webcam feed, Mixcloud is live. So get yourself to mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix FM. If you log in, you can join us in the chat box on the side as well. Always a pleasure to hear from whoever is out there. And we always get quite a lot of interactions on the show that goes like this. Tonight could be no different. I have asked for something in the build-up to this show on social media as well. Someone is joining us on the Mixcloud. They've just told me that I don't look amazingly suntanned. Well, apologies for that. But I had a sun hat on while it's been very hot weather lately. I did get out in it, though. I normally try and shy away from the sun, but I've had a bit of sun recently. So enjoyed it. Marvellous. It's the 20th of July. Huge thanks to Bob Simpson for covering Stuart Pink on Drive Time. A marvellous Drive Time show from Bob today. And you can join him again on Phoenix FM tomorrow. 1, 2, 3. He will be back on the airwaves. And Stuart will be back on Drive, hopefully, everything permitting. And I'm here with you now up until 8 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. 98.0, phoenixfm.com. Spread the word, share the show, tell everyone about it, and let's go crazy. Yes, we're certainly starting off with tracks that link to the world of jumping. Is there such a thing as a world of jumping? I think you'll find there is. There's a whole underground movement of jumping. I'll tell you more about jumping after the next track. I've said jumping a lot in one sentence, haven't I? Let's have another song that helps us jump. Iconic. Definitely builds excitement, this intro. I am ready to rock out now. I don't know about you. Stuart Pink would like this one on his as yet untitled rock show. Van Halen. We'll be right back.
Phoenix FM.
Classic Van Halen there, and Jump, played because today is World Jump Day. And as you'll know, if you're a regular listener to the show, I do like to share some interesting facts related to the topic we're talking about. So I thought I'd look up some jumping facts. That led me to a little bit more of a niche. One that's disturbed me, and I feel that I need to share some of the facts with you. Because suddenly, just by putting in facts about jumping, I've found facts about jumping spiders. And if you know me well, you'll know, let's be honest, I hate spiders. Anyone that likes them is weird. But yeah, don't like them, don't like the way they move, don't like the leg span. No need for them. Well, obviously there is a need for them because they consume flies, and if they didn't do that, the flies would rule the world. But anyway, what can I tell you now then about jumping spiders? Well, they're members of the Salticidae family, and there are 646 recognised genera of the Salticidae family, and more than 6,200 species of jumping spider. It's good, isn't it, to know they're everywhere. They're the largest family of spiders in the world, come in a variety of shapes, colours and sizes. With the exception of extreme polar regions, they're found in every habitat in the world, jumping spiders. The only way to guarantee not being near them is to go to the North Pole or Antarctica. There you go. So, you know, get your COVID passport sorted, definitely. They do mostly reside in tropical areas, but they will hang out in chillier climates as well. In 1975, a researcher from the British Museum of Natural History found jumping spiders on the slopes of Mount Everest. That's good to know, isn't it? You worry about whether they could be in your house, and they've gone to one of the most inhospitable places on the earth. Well done, jumping spiders. When you say jumping spiders, I know what you're thinking. How far do they jump then? Well, jumping spiders can leap up to 50 times their own body length. That's mad. That is the equivalent of a human being able to jump, you know, like a sort of averagely sized man being able to jump about 75, 80 metres. What's the world record long jump? 9 point something, nearly 10 metres. And that's someone going who's like Olympic champion, you know, is the greatest ever at jumping. You know, just an average jumping spider goes 50 times its own body length. Can you imagine if we could do that? Just jump forward 80 metres and not land in a huge pit of sand. But anyway, yes. So, but people think because of that ability, they must have super legs. But apparently it's not the case. They rely on segmented legs and blood flow to make their crazy jumps. When they're ready to jump, the spiders cause an extreme change in hemolymph pressure, the spider equivalent of blood pressure, by contracting the muscles in the upper region of their bodies. This forces blood to their legs and causes their legs to extend rapidly. The quick and sudden extension of the legs is what propels them in the direction they're aiming. Shall I ease up on the jumping spider facts for now and have another track while we all come to terms with the fact that jumping spiders are everywhere? I'm currently looking at photos of one. I'm one of those people that I don't even like photos of spiders. You know, it weirds me out a little bit. But these are all done in a nice way on this website. If you're interested, it's treehugger.com. The website I'm looking at, and the spider looks relatively cute. It's got two big eyes in the middle of its head and then littler eyes on the side. Looks quite cute. So maybe spiders can be cute, but they jump. I don't like that. I'll tell you a story about a jumping spider after this track. This, still jumping, is House of Pain.
Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up.
time to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up and get down. Jump, 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 jump. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. I never eat a pig because a pig is a... Yeah, a Terminator, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, trying to play me out like as if my name was Sega. But I ain't going out like no punk. Get used to one style, yo, when I might switch it up, up and around. Then buck, buck, get down, put out your head, and then you wake up in the dawn of the dead. I'm coming to get ya, I'm coming to get ya. Spitting out lyrics, homie, I want ya. I came to get down, I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was House of Pain jumping around on World Jump Day. Yes, you want more worrying facts about jumping spiders? You didn't get enough? Fine, this is the place to be right now then. Because jumping spiders can easily jump and catch their prey, they have no need to use their webs for hunting. When they find a target, they extend their legs and launch after their prey. Typically small insects. Once they've cornered their prey, they just add a bit of venom. There you go, that's nice, isn't it? this is upsetting. They can be trained to jump on command. Researchers at the University of Manchester trained a regal jumping spider to jump on command to better understand the species' jumping abilities. They filmed the spider and her jumping techniques. For close-range jumps, the spider favoured faster, lower-trajectory jumps, which uses more energy but results in shorter flight times, which increases the odds of catching a target. So, using skills like this, researchers hope they can improve the jumping skills of tiny robots. Why do we need tiny robots? Espionage, possibly. There's now, bearing in mind I've said I don't like looking at photos of spiders, there's now an extreme close-up of a spider looking at me, and it kind of that close, I don't mind it so much, which is really weird. Because it looks sort of fluffy and furry and hairy. I remember once, it's weird to equate spiders to elephants, but I'm going to do it right now. Stay tuned. I went to the circus. I did that thing where they let you sort of meet an elephant in the interval, I think. And several children were queuing up to do it. And if their parents paid more, you could sit on the back of the elephant, whatever. And elephants, you just assume, because you've seen them on TV, that they're just smooth. And they have grey skin, and that's what elephants do. When you get very near one, when you sit on an elephant, when you touch it, for those of you that have, you're very lucky. It's quite hairy, isn't it, an elephant? And you just don't see them from far away. And it's the same with this spider. Up close, it's quite furry, and on the top of its head, it's sort of... it's almost like it's losing its hair. And it's still trying to have spiky hair while it's got bald patches, this spider. Anyway... perhaps I have to save this photo and share it on my blog later, copyright permitting, I'll investigate. But anyway, this spider up close, the reason I can see a picture of it up close is we're talking about their eyesight right now. And I don't know if this is the case with all spiders. I've heard of spiders having eight eyes, but these spiders that I've seen tonight have four eyes. The eyes of jumping spiders have a decidedly odd arrangement. Two smaller eyes, bracket two large eyes, that rest in the centre of their rectangular heads. Not literally completely rectangular, that would be weird, just the general area the eyes take up. The smaller set of eyes provide a wide angle view and a sense of motion, while the larger primary eyes in the centre of the spider's head provide a massive amount of detail in colour and the best spatial acuity of any animal of similar body size. Think about this as well. Imagine if a human could do this. As an added bonus, the spider's retinas can swivel on their own, allowing the spider to look around without moving its head. Now, we can move our eyes a little bit. Spiders can do it as well. They have four eyes to do it with, so there you go. But just, it feels like they're a little bit too advanced eye-wise for my liking. This photo, they've got two sort of big blue eyes in the middle and blacker, browner eyes that are smaller on the outside. But again, because it's up close and you can see it magnified many times, kind of looks a bit furry, a little bit fluffy, a little bit like it's receding. But it looks kind of cute. I can't believe I'd ever think a spider was cute. If there was one on the desk right in front of me now, I'd be terrified and wouldn't be broadcasting. I would have run away a long time ago. Anyway, I think I'm done with the jumping spider facts. Many of them up close look fascinating. Many of them hairier than you expect. Okay, let's move on. Let's have another song. Let's find some other kind of facts to wow you with. We're still going to play music that relates to jumping. Shall we play music that relates to jumping spiders? Well, you can say what you like about it. Destiny's Child are singing Jumpin' Jumpin'. Were they thinking about spiders when they wrote it?
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full of grown.
Doesn't seem it.
And all you fellas, leave your girl with her friends. Cause it's 11:30 and the club is jumping, jumping. We say you got a girl, and yeah, it's true, you got a man. But the party ain't gonna stop, so let's take it high, high. Last week and you stayed at home alone and lonely. Couldn't find your man, he was chilling with his homies. This week and you're going out. If you try to stop you, you're going off. You got your hair done and your nails done too. I'll be it in your tennis shoes. You and your coupe are laying at the hottest spot tonight. You're going to find your fellas rolling in the Lexus trucks and Hummers. So we say you got a girl, yeah, it's true, you got a man. But the party ain't gonna stop, so let's take it out. Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full of grown.
I ain't thinking about my man tonight.
I ain't worried about my girl.
right.
All you ladies leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown. And now you fellas leave your girl with her friends. Cause it's 11:30 and the club is jumping, jumping. Ladies leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown. And now you fellas leave your girl with her friends. Cause it's 11:30 and the club is jumping, jumping.
Phoenix FM.
Destiny's Child, Jumpin' Jumpin'. They don't just do it once, they had to repeat themselves. More interesting jumping facts that aren't just related to spiders, in case any arachnophobes out there are listening and are so arachnophobic you can't even hear the word spider. Anyway, what am I going to tell you about jumping? Well, you may or may not know that the human jumping record set by Cuba's Javier Sotomayor in 1993 in the Athletics... 8 feet, 2.45 metres. When you actually think about that, 8 feet is probably just under the height of this ceiling. And the human who holds the record for the highest jump has done that from a standing start. All right, a running start then, if you like. But just looking up, that's preposterous. That's ridiculous. It can't happen. But anyway, you can measure the ultimate highest distance something has ever jumped, but also probably the best way of working out the best jumpers in nature, not the best jumpers in Burton's. Best jumpers in nature are ones that jump incredibly high relative to their own size. And springboks are particularly good at this. They can jump 2 metres in height, not too much less than old Javier Sotomayor. And considering they're an antelope, it's impressive. The impala is the highest jumper among antelope, can soar up to 9 feet 10, that's 3 metres over obstacles, including other impalas and savanna vegetation. So there's hares also pretty good when we're talking about mammals. Hares jump further than rabbits because they're bigger, apparently. And hares, brown hares, have reached heights of 4.5 metres, 15 feet. White-tailed jackrabbits have travelled an astonishing 6.4 metres, 21 feet. Impressive. Impressive. Then we've got kangaroo rats that we're talking about as well. They can leap up to 9 feet high. 2.75 metres, and when you think the actual animal itself weighs 128 grams, relative to its size, that is quite impressive. Red kangaroos regularly leap 5 feet up, and their highest jumps are said to be around 10 feet or 3 metres, on a par with impalas, but not as good as hares and jackrabbits. I'll play another song, then we'll have some final jumping facts before we move on to a new topic very shortly. Time for a bit of Stones, though.
No, no.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Jumping Jack Flash, of course. Now then, to put to bed jumping for this installment of the show that goes like this, let me give you some information about animals. See, we've had ones that can jump physical height distances that are impressive. What about ones that can leap incredible distances according to their own body length or weight or something like that? Well, you may have guessed insects are going to be brilliant at this, particularly, and upsettingly for some pet owners, I would expect, fleas. Unbelievably good. Fleas can launch themselves up to 200 times their body length. That's the equivalent of a human jumping like 300 metres. I'm just going to go down the road to the shops, darling. How long will it take you? Well, just the one jump. So about 8 seconds. Can you imagine that? Oh, just being able to throw yourself forward 300 metres. Brilliant. Anyway, what about fleas? Well, they use their hind legs as multi-jointed levers. They grip the ground for traction before crouching down, using special muscles to store energy in a protein. When this energy is released, it acts like a coiled spring and flings them upwards. Cat fleas have been observed jumping 20 centimetres, and dog fleas have been observed jumping 25 centimetres, which is over 200 times their own body length. However, there's another group of tiny animals that is possibly the best, and they're called, I bet you've never heard of them, copepods. Have you heard of a copepod? I hadn't. But it's a kind of plankton, and they're found throughout the world's oceans, and they're typically less than 3 millimetres long. So they're very small, and they jump through the water to escape predators and to hunt their own prey. And they do so by throwing their 4 to 5 pairs of swimming legs backwards in sequence. Now just think about this next fact for a minute. Within a few milliseconds, copepods accelerate to a velocity of nearly 1,000 body lengths per second. It's quite a lot. Yeah. And in 2011, researchers discovered that copepods' leg muscles produce 10 times more force than any other animal studied. So, in terms of jumping distances, fleas have been noticed to be impressive. But the real winners have to be the copepods, who have more force in their legs than any other animal ever studied. So if you want to jump well, jump like a copepod. That's my motto. Right, time to move away from jumping, shall we? Yes, let's do just that, because there are other wacky holidays that occur on the 20th of July. What are they then, Ben, I hear you ask? Well, stay right there and I'll tell you. So first of all, I did go on about this at the beginning of the show. The 20th of July isn't just Jump Day. Excitingly for everybody concerned, it's Moon Day. Put your trousers back on. It's not that kind of moon. We're talking about the satellites that orbit planets. And not man-made satellites, ones that are there as part of the solar system all the time. I've never known. I'll check while the next song is on what our moon is actually known as. Is it just the moon? Seems a bit rubbish. It must have a proper name, according to NASA. I'll investigate and come back to you. If anyone knows, please message me on Facebook, Ben Simmons Radio, or tweet me at Ben Sim Radio. I'd love to hear from you. If you can tweet me or message me before I find it out, then huge kudos to you. Yes. Right, what are we going to do musically while we're talking about Moon Day then? I just can't help it. Every time I say it, I think about the alternative meaning of moon. Let's move away from the alternative meaning of moon and go to the real meaning of moon, which is the moon. R.E.M. sang all about a man on the moon. Which man was it?
Martin, the game of life. Yeah. And he called see the breakfast mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll see you in heaven if you make a mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one?
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Haven't heard that track for ages and I quite enjoyed it. REM's Man on the Moon. While that track was on, had a message from regular friend of the show, Ron Wilmot, who tells me Moon Williams is a great singer. And apparently you should check him out too. Okay, thanks Ron. Moon Williams, well done. We've talked about Moon. Okay, now I did do some exhaustive research while that song was on, And almost upsettingly, really, the Earth's moon's name is Moon, which I think isn't very imaginative, really, when you know there are other moons in the solar system called things like Ganymede and Callisto and Titan and Enceladus, Europa, whatever. And ours gets to be called Moon. Why is this, you may be wondering? Well, we called it the Moon because for a long time it was the only one we knew about. It was the only moon that scientists had ever discovered in our solar system. So therefore, it's the moon and always has been. And then they went, oh, hang on, other moons exist, but that was the original moon. We're not changing it, it's called the moon. And they thought it in that slightly harsh voice as well. But there you go. That's more moon information for you. Don't say, I don't give you moon information on the show that goes like this. It does say on the exhaustive research that lots of other languages have beautiful names for the moon. Doesn't sound quite as nice in English. Luna in Italian. Lune in French. Monde in German. Selene in Greek. That's just reminded me. You have to look for it yourself, but it did make me laugh. There's a YouTube video where someone's proven the harshness of the German language, where it will tell you a word in English, and then there's a guy saying them in all a variety of European languages, like French, Spanish, and Italian, and then in the German, it's always something awful and harsh to say. I'm sure if you go on YouTube and put in German harsh language or something like that, you'll eventually find this video, but it's very funny. It made me laugh. I heartily recommend it. So, yes. Now then, we need another track that links to the moon. It's not difficult, really, to find moon songs. There's a whole host of them just asking to be played, particularly on this show tonight. Over to the Police, then. See, R.E.M. talked about it. The Police, probably before R.E.M. They thought about it and sung about it. Exactly what it felt like for Neil Armstrong. And all that have gone before, since, after. Before doesn't make any sense. What's it like to walk on the moon?
Walking back from
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was The Police, Walking on the Moon, obviously. Now, I did put a request out earlier on social media, and as we approach the second hour of the show, I'm going to let you know what's going to happen in the second hour. I'm going to start reading out your answers to my request, really, because following the success of the Chocolate Bar World Cup, I thought, well, we're into summer. What can we do? Let's not do something else you can eat. Let's not do crisps. It's been done to death. Let's not do people's favourite main meal. You know, there's MasterChef. There's all these kind of cookery shows that deal with that. What no one's done for a while is find out the nation's favourite soft drink. Yes, you think about summer, you think about a cold beer or a cider or a nice glass of wine. But what about soft drinks? And I thought we could get a World Cup of soft drinks going. And I thought, are there enough different soft drinks to organise a whole tournament like happened on this very station, on this very programme for the Chocolate Bar World Cup, and the Dairy Milk Caramel was victorious, in case you're wondering, against the Snickers in the final, which for many lost on penalties. But I'm going to do it, yes. Following your wonderful examples that you've sent in to me, there is, beginning next week, going to be a World Cup of soft drinks to find the nation's favourite soft drink. I didn't realise there were so many, and some that people clearly already have strong views about. And thanks so much to everyone that sent them in. It's truly marvellous of you. And let's have one more track, then we'll have some celebrity birthdays, and then we will start to hear your suggestions of wonderful soft drinks. Time to shut up and dance, though. Why is this moon related? Because it's Walk the Moon.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, fading.
Phoenix FM.
Very sing-alongable, isn't it? Walk the Moon and Shut Up and Dance. What a great track. Always enjoy listening to that. Shall we? Do it, as promised, almost on the dot of 7 o'clock. That's a happy coincidence. Time for a little bit of this. Whose notable birthday is it today? Or should I say, who is notable and it's their birthday today? Well, new Strictly judge Anton Dubek is 55 today. Sex Pistols drummer Paul Cook is 65. John Lodge of the Moody Blues is 76 today. Brian May is 74 today. And also, ex-supermodel Gisele Bündchen is 41 today. Killing Eve actress Sandra Oh is 50 today. Hollywood actress Judy Greer is 46 today. And this man, who is the bane of my life at the moment, if you listen to this show over the last couple of weeks, you may understand why. Ben Simmons is 25 today. It's not me. Ben Simmons is 25 today. Yes, Philadelphia 76ers basketball player Ben Simmons. It's his birthday today. Many happy returns, namesake. I'm sure you tuned in and listening, because I know, having been in the crowd at Wimbledon with your girlfriend Maya Jammer, and then some of my listeners hearing that Ben Simmons was canoodling with Maya Jammer in the Wimbledon audience, got in touch with this programme, outraged, on behalf of my wife, wondering what the heck I was playing at. So Ben Simmons, quite literally, nearly ruined my life. Could be a news headline, you know. I think you should spread the word on my behalf. Anyway, happy birthday to Ben Simmons. How weird to say that and not be talking about myself. But anyway, if it's your birthday as well today, many happy returns to you from all of us here at the show that goes like this on Phoenix FM. Don't forget to spread the word. Tell everybody about this show. It's a fabulous show, Tuesday evening, 6 to 8, on a fabulous station with great programmes all week. Check out our website for everything else that's going on the schedule. Great features on there. Always interesting guests as well. Loads of local events and news if you're based in Brentwood, Billericay or the surrounding areas. But even if you're not, loads of exciting stuff for everyone. PhoenixFM.com. Check it out. Right, let's have another track. But are we going to carry on with the moon? We are. It's still Moon Day today. We've got one more track to carry on with the moon. Here's Top Loader.
Phoenix FM.
Bit of top loader there. You may remember, if you tune into this show regularly, a few months back I did a show all about surprising cover versions. And I heard Dancing in the Moonlight and was shocked to realise that Top Loader had just done a cover version. It wasn't the original. The original was done back 40-odd years ago or something like that. But yeah, there we go. Still a good track, though. Dancing in the Moonlight. Can't help but enjoy listening to it on Moon Day, the 20th of July. Not that kind of moon. Stop it. Put them back on. Now, we're moving on to a new topic. Another day that is celebrated on the 20th of July is International Chess Day. So yes, it is the day to play chess internationally. No, it is Chess Day all over the world, which is in some ways exciting. And I know you're already racking your brains to think, how am I going to twist this musically to get some tracks on that link to the game of chess? Oh, don't you worry. I've thought about how to do it. Before I do that, though, a couple of interesting facts about chess. The longest tournament chess game in terms of moves ever to be played was Nikolic versus Arsovic, appropriately on Moon Day, in Belgrade in 1989, which lasted for 269 moves and took 20 hours and 15 minutes to complete a drawn game. There wasn't even a victor at the end of it. Almost 24 hours. 20 hours, 15 minutes. That's the longest in a tournament that has ever been played. The longest decisive tournament game was in 2016, Danin versus Azarov. Danin won in 239 moves in the ninth round of the THT Extraliga, which is the highest Czech team league. There we go. That was held in the Czech Republic in, when was it? 2016? You thought chess was interesting. You're right, aren't you? The longest ever game, 20 hours, 15 minutes, and the longest decisive game, 239 moves. Incredible. Wow. Can't be that great for the spectators. They're like, come on, just make the next move. Please, get on with it. Come on. Just kick it. Knock it over. I think there's a bit more to it than that. Isn't it the ultimate game of brain power, chess? Come on then, I've racked my brains. Have you been racking yours? How can I link some tracks to the world of chess? Well, if you know your chess pieces and some intricate moves in chess, you'll know why Ed Sheeran made Castle on the Hill. Thank you very much.
When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. I was running from my brother and his friends, and tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart, broke it here, made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home. Old and smoking and rolled cigarettes, running from the law through the backfields and getting drunk with my friends. Had my first kiss on a Friday night. I don't reckon that I did it right, but I was younger then. Take me back to when we found weekend jobs, when we got paid, we'd buy cheap spirits and drink them straight. Me and my friends have not thrown up in so long, oh how we've grown. But I can't wait to go home. Sell clothes. One works down by the coast. One had two kids but lives alone. One's brother overdosed. One's already on his second wife. One's just barely getting by. But these people raised me and I can't wait to go on. And I'm on my way. I still remember these old country lanes when we did not know the answers. And I miss the way you make me feel. It's real when we watch the sunset.
Phoenix FM.
Bit of Ed Sheeran there, still number one with Bad Habits in the charts right now, but that was Castle on the Hill because it is World Chess Day today on the 20th of July, and you can castle. It's a move in chess, isn't it? And also an alternative name for the rook. You can call it the castle, if you like. Shall we have music instantly that relates to another kind of chess piece, one that can move in any direction it fancies on the board? It's the Queen! Moving in any direction is a kind of magic. It's a tenuous link, but I enjoyed it.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind. One shaft of light that shows the way. No mortal man can win this day. It's a kind of magic. The bell that rings inside your mind is charging the doors of time. It's a kind of magic. The way
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And this is still the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons. Hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in, however you've done so, why ever you've done so, whether you're listening live or listening via the catch-up, whether you've downloaded it to your device or it's just there online and you're tuning in. Thank you. Fabulous. Now then, while that last track was on, I was contacted by a good friend of mine, friend of the show, and somehow still number one on the BitLol league table, Mr. Nick Murphy, who's heavily ensconced in the world of chess. And I didn't expect to say the word ensconced on this programme tonight. And he tells me that I called the piece The Rook when I played Ed Sheeran's Castle on the Hill, and said it can also be known as The Castle. He tells me that's violently wrong. It's only ever a rook. People do refer to it as The Castle because of what it looks like, looking a bit like a turret, I suppose, on a castle. And that's wrong. It's not called a castle. There is a move in chess called castling, where the king and the rook are allowed to swap positions, and it's the only time the king can move more than one square. But that piece is only a rook. The one that moves in straight lines, only a rook. Don't call it a castle. You'll upset Nick Murphy and many other people ensconced in the world of chess if you try and call it a castle. To try and make him feel better, I'm going to share with you some facts, some interesting records in the world of chess. If you know anything about chess currently, you'll know that the kind of biggest star, if you like, in the world of chess is a Norwegian guy called Magnus Carlsen. He holds the record for the longest undefeated streak in terms of number of games. 125 games undefeated against elite opposition from July the 31st, 2018 to October the 9th, 2020, when he lost to Jan Christoph Duda. Must have been gutted. Can you imagine? Did he throw his castles out of the pram? That's the question. But an impressive run. The longest reigning world champion in terms of time was Emanuel Lasker, who reigned for 27 years, from 1894 to 1921. And some churlish people have said, yeah, but World War One was in the middle of that. But even if you'd have taken that out, his reign would remain far longer than any other champion. So, yes. He became champion in 1894 and he wasn't defeated until 1921. Quite impressive. Now, the highest rating ever recorded, also that accolade is owned by Magnus Carlsen, who achieved a rating of 2,882, which is incredibly high. I think, if you're over 2,500, you're a grandmaster. Maybe Nick can let me know about that, but I think it's something like that. To achieve that kind of level of brilliance, you need to have a rating of over 2,500. I don't know what most people's average rating would be. Something like 15, 16, 1700? Something like that? I don't know. How's the rating system in chess work? I'm going to ask Nick Murphy to message me and let me know, and then I'll let you know after the next track. Right, if I can find out any information about the chess rating system, I'll do so. While that's on, what are we going to play? Well, we talked about how many moves it can make, and normally it's just one square per move. Unless you're castling, then the king can go two moves. How exciting. Kings of Leon are here with Pyro.
Ben Simmons.
With who?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, right.
On Phoenix FM.
Right, I know you've been waiting with bated breath for chess rating info, and I have it straight from the horse's mouth. If Nick Murphy was a horse, would he be a thoroughbred? Can you get idiot horses? I guess you can. But thanks to Nick for sharing this information with me. Apparently, a beginner at chess would expect to have a rating between 600 to 800. And someone that got good enough to play for their local club would expect to have a rating between 1200 and 2200. 2200 for the very best club players. Then you can achieve a rating known as International Master, where you're really rather quite good and would expect to beat most other people. And those people would have a rating of over 2,400. Nick Murphy himself, who I know is a club player and heavily ensconced in the world of chess, as I've said before, he claims to have a rating of 1,750, which I would say is respectable. And then, what else has he shared with me? Yes, you do have to have a rating of 2,500 to be a grandmaster. You also have to have 3 results in elite competitions considered good enough to be a grandmaster. And they're called Grandmaster Norms, named after the character Norm in Cheers. One of the things of the last sentence or two is wrong. See if you can guess what it is. Yes, they are called Grandmaster Norms. Apparently, there's an unofficial title, Super Grandmaster, which is over 2,700. And apparently, according to the website I'm looking on with these records, only 12 players in history have ever reached a rating of over 2,800. Remember, Magnus Carlsen has the highest record of all time of 2,882. Gary Kasparov achieved 2,851 in 1999, and Fabiano Caruana achieved a rating of 2,844 in October 2014. But Magnus Carlsen is the only player who has ever approached a rating of 2,900. Will he get there? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Before I go on to the next track, first of all, thanks to Nick Murphy for sharing a lot of that info. Fabulous of him. Get this, the youngest player to become a grandmaster. I'm annoyed that I've started this now because I've got to pronounce his name. Abhimanyu Mishra. Bearing in mind you have to have a rating of 2,500 and have taken on comparable players and beaten them in the Grandmaster Norm event. Abhimanyu Mishra is 12 years old, 4 months and 25 days, and has become a Grand Master. Well done. Very well done. Bet you're pleased with yourself. Okay, let's have another track. And here, well, this, you could say tenuously linked to the world of chess, but I think literally linked to the world of chess. It's Gladys Knight. And a Bond theme. Chess and Bond. It's exciting, isn't it? Bond fans know what's coming. Get your License to Kill out. And it's checkmate.
Hey, baby. Thought you were the one who tried to run away.
Yes, you do.
You sigh.
Ooh, baby. Now you can depend on me to keep things right.
FM.
Always good when a song plays out with kill, kill, kill. Slightly sinister. Well done, Gladys Knight. And License to Kill. Wasn't that Timothy Dalton? Living Daylights, License to Kill. I seem to remember that was him. But yes, thank you so much for that. We've had loads of exciting chess facts. Just going to hark back to Moon Day for a moment because I've had a message on the Mixcloud chat. Firstly, from Paul Milton, who sends wishes. Hello, Paul. Good to know you're out there again, and thanks for tuning in. As ever, always appreciated. And from fellow Phoenix FM presenter Gary Davidson, he says, hi, Ben. As it's Moon Day, I wonder if that's why Jeff Bezos chose today to launch himself into space. It's what all millionaires seem to want to do now. Good point. Didn't Richard Branson do it the other day and went to the edge of space? Say what you will about Elon Musk, but with his new plan to bring people to Mars, nobody is a more creative serial killer. Thanks, right. Slightly controversial there from Gary. And Gary will be on Phoenix FM later tonight at 10 o'clock with Off the Record. So do tune in for that as well. Heartily recommended. And if you do want to see what's going on in the studio on the Mixcloud feed, get yourself to Mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix 98 FM, and you will see what I'm looking like today in the studio in my rather fetching blue t-shirt, even if I do say so myself. And if you want to comment in the chat box at the side, you do have to have a Mixcloud account, but you can sign in with Facebook, do all that gubbins, sign in with Google and stuff, or you can do a proper email get an account situation. Now, one more topic. We're going to have one more chess-related track, and then we're going to move on to the final topic. And I have to share your soft drink suggestions before the World Cup of soft drinks will begin in earnest next week. Thanks to everyone that have sent them in. There's been a deluge of them this afternoon. It's been fabulous. Now then, there's only one song that beautifully sums up the world of chess from the musical Chess. I wonder if it's Magnus Carlsen, Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon we're talking about. I doubt it. He probably wasn't born at the time. Take it away, ladies.
Thank you.
that situations must go wrong. But this has never yet prevented me wanting far too much for far too long. Looking back, I could have played it differently. One a few more moments, who can tell? But it took time to understand the man. Now at least I know him well. Wasn't it good?
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
There can't be many radio shows where you get Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon, also Gladys Knight, also Walk the Moon, REM, Van Halen, Destiny's Child and the Pointer Sisters. That's what I love about the show that goes like this. The musical choices can go anywhere. Remember, I say it over and over again, we're not constrained by genre, by time, anything like that, as long as it links to the theme, I'm happy to play it. Good songs guaranteed on the show that goes like this. Now then, the final topic of the day that is celebrated on the 20th of July, it is Space Exploration Day today, which links to Moon Day, possibly links to World Jump Day, if you're walking on the moon, and chess. I guess someone's played space chess. Not quite Space Invaders, is it? Not as fast. Space chess. Anyway, so the next few tracks to take us through to the end will all be linked to space specifically. But I've also got to squeeze in some of your requests for soft drinks to feature in the Soft Drink World Cup. So, yes, people ask me about Bic Lol. Well, I will tell you, messages came in earlier on in the show that the person I was going to get to take part in Bicklol had been otherwise engaged. They have recently had a baby, so I will let them off on this occasion, but I'm having to postpone their Bicklol until next week. So Bicklol fans, how desperately disappointing for all of you, but do not panic. You can still check out the live league table via my blogs on the Phoenix FM website. Let's get a song on about space, then we'll get your soft drink requests. We won't get those drinks to you. I don't mean requests in that respect. That would cost me a lot of money and, quite frankly, be ridiculous. It would be me versus the world. Space sang about me and you versus the world.
Phoenix FM.
Space, me and you versus the world there on this Space Exploration Day on Tuesday the 20th of July. Is anyone up there exploring right now? Must be someone in the International Space Station. It's constantly manned, isn't it? Not that they're always exploring, but who knows what's going on up in space. Anyway, a couple more tracks to squeeze in. And remember, I have said the Soft Drink World Cup will begin next week. So what about your suggestions as to what should be included? I was worried there wouldn't be enough. Thanks to you, lovely Leg End listeners, I think there's going to be more than enough. Bobo Roberts has gone in with a Fanta. Ian Lee, former presenter on Phoenix FM, has gone for cream soda. You don't really see that anymore now, do you? And I did used to love a cream soda. Martin Hill says Pepsi Max. I do know it's one of his favourite drinks. Yes, absolutely. And also weighs in with something that I think Lainey Boyle weighed in with later on as well. Tab Clear. Now, I'd forgotten about this. Tab Clear, do you remember it? Had to look it up on Google. It was a Coca-Cola's contribution to the short-lived Clear Cola movement during the 1990s. They tried to make a drink that tasted like Coke that wasn't brown. And Tab Clear was invented. And people have remembered it and enjoyed it, clearly. Dawn Sterling suggests Iron Brew. And Sue Ward suggests Quattro. Do you remember? I remember that. Quattro is a white can with red, green, yellow and blue colours in a logo, wasn't it? I remember a Quattro. That's a cheeky effort. Like it, though. A few more of your suggestions coming up after the next track, which is, when we talk about space, it's something I always enjoy listening to. Bit of Babylon Zoo. Remember this one? It was on a Levi's advert, wasn't it? Fast start, then gets a bit slow and weird, and then gets okay again at the end. I'll leave you in the capable hands of Babylon Zoo.
I can't get off the carousel. I can't get off the carousel. community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I always preferred the higher voiced, faster bits of that song, but there was less of it than the grungier, lower bits. But that's just me. Anyway, that was Babylon Zoo and Spaceman from a Levi's advert back in the mid-90s, I think. And, well, we're getting to the real final home straight of the show that goes like this tonight. And I still have some of your soft drink suggestions to share. So, what shall we have? What did we get to? Quattro, wasn't it? Sue Ward's Cheeky Quattro. Mark Wall suggests Dandelion and Burdock. Marvellous. Then Barry Liptrop suggests Sherbet Flying Saucers. That's not a drink, is it? Weren't they sweets in a sweet shop? I did like those. Maybe you could put them in a drink and they dissolve, but... Anyway, not strictly in the World Cup, I don't think. Andrew Van Buren comes in with 7-Up. Yeah, good suggestion. I like a 7-Up. Amber Butcher says Tango Ice Blast. That's a bit cheeky, the Ice Blast version of a tango. Gotta love the tango adverts that used to be on. And then they got banned, didn't they? Because people were hitting each other around the head too much. But I found it funny. Another fellow Phoenix presenter, Nigel Fitzmaurice, suggests Iron Brew. Yes, well done, Nigel. And Michelle Ward has messaged as well and said pineapple juice with bits and served with ice. Very specific. Thanks, Michelle. Megan Doherty says Cherry Coke. Yeah, I've always loved a Cherry Coke. No one's put Dr. Pepper on this list. I like a Dr. Pepper as well. Lainey Boyle says Vimto. Bob Simpson, who was on Drive today, back with 1-2-3 tomorrow, says, I hope he's being funny, pea juice. Pea juice. That sounds disgusting, Bob, but thanks. Paul Saunders says Boza, which is a fermented malt drink. I've never heard of it. I'll take your word for it, Paul. Stuart Jane says Tizer. Great suggestion. Red, wasn't it? Tizer. I remember as Tizer. My mum has weighed in with Lorena Pink Citrus Lemonade. That is very specific as well. Or bottled elderflower presse. Thanks for that. And Dan Prague says, Lilt for a totally tropical taste. Yeah, you got to love that advert. Totally tropical taste of Lilt. Tom Bradley says, ginger beer. Yeah. Oh, Laurie Folk has come in with a Dr. Pepper Zero at the last minute. Well done. Excellent. Right, just before I sum up the entire show, a couple of facts about space, because it is Space Exploration Day. Did you know Halley's Comet won't orbit the Earth again until 2061? Last time was 1986. I remember that. There was a furore at school about it and how much we should all enjoy it. And a full NASA spacesuit for one astronaut costs $12 million. Cripes. That seems ridiculous for the size of it. All right, it's got to be incredibly safe, but $12 million. 70% of that cost is for the backpack and control module. Cripes. Okay, well, I'm going to play us out with one of my favourite tracks, and it is a good one, so get yourselves ready for that. It's been another rip-roarer of a show that goes like this tonight. We've dealt with the fact that the 20th of July has been World Jump Day, Moon Day, International Chess Day, and Space Exploration Day. I feel duty-bound to point out once again that Moon Day is not the kind of mooning that no one wants to see. It's the satellite that orbits the Earth. So, yes, please just enjoy that satellite and nothing else with regards to Moon Day. And we had celebrity birthdays. I discovered my namesake nemesis, Ben Simmons, the basketball player for the Philadelphia 76ers, who's now dating Maya Jama, was seen at Wimbledon. People thought it was me at Wimbledon, canoodling with a TV presenter and questioned what I was doing to my wife. But anyway, that's not true. But happy birthday to Ben Simmons, who's 25. I'm not jealous at all. Right, going to play out with a track. Rob Harvey up next with Synth City, so stick around for that. Sure to be another fabulous show starting at 8 o'clock. But a remix version of a Jamiroquai track that I always enjoy listening to. So let's play out with a little bit of a classic, Space Cowboys. See you same time next week.